welcome you this morning and just speak the blessing of the Lord over you as you come to minister to us.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate it. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
And if you detect an accent, it's actually because I am from the United States of Australia. That's what it is. Because in Australia, they know I'm an American. But when I come to America, people think I'm an Australian. So that's where that's come from. But it's good to have my mom and my sister here, my cousin, their friend, and Auntie Janice too. Can you say hi to everyone?
Hello.
And I do have one, I got to do a little bit of home. This seems like home. Is it okay if I just act like I'm at home?
Yes.
This kind of seems like a church where everybody's family likes each other. But Josh was a little upset with that announcement. So stand up, please, Josh. You got to help us. What's going on? Is the film after church or not?
Yes, but unfortunately, I have treatment at 1 o'clock, so I don't know if I will be able to attend.
Is that okay if he goes to treatment?
We'll catch you later.
Okay.
Josh, we're going to catch you later.
But if the service is done, go as long as you can.
Okay.
And then go.
So what he's saying is if the preacher isn't long, you might be able to do all.
That I'm not expecting to happen, so.
What time am I supposed to be done? What time's pastor normally done? We're going to set the timer right now, Josh. Service, what time does service normally get out? I'm not long-winded, by the way, because I believe in blessed are the short-winded, for they shall be invited back. But back home where I come from, we normally speak 30, 35 minutes max. So what do you normally speak around here, pastor? You never told me.
It's longer than that.
Okay, so Josh, I think we're going to handle it all. We're going to make it all today. Can you believe for that? God, here's my prayer today. Let's pray. God, you're going to accomplish everything you need to through everyone that's here and allow all that needs to happen today. So we thank you. Our trust, our assurance, and our confidence is in you today, Father. So we thank you for all that you'll do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, it's good to be here. I actually had a bit of a unique experience last night. Praying in preparation for today and this morning, I had two messages because I'd never been here before, so I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know that Walters represented half the church. Man, I tell you what. And so it's pretty cool to have them here. In fact, we got Isaiah sitting right up in the front here. So we're going to have him do something before the service. I don't know what it is, but man, if you're here and smiling and you got a family of 11, that's impressive. And mom, she's as happy as a daisy, fresh as a daisy. So that's very good. But, I just kind of had things stirring in my heart both ways. And one is kind of more of a practical message. But I just feel like today I want to teach on the gift of prophecy. And, when you talk about gifts of the Spirit, sometimes people get a little bit freaked out because, you say Holy Spirit. Everybody's cool with God. Yeah, Father God. Yeah, I understand that. There is a Father. He is called God. I understand father relationships in life. Some of you come maybe from families where there was dysfunction. But you see, when I talk about the things of God, it's not the dysfunction side of it. That's real. And it's relevant to who we are. But God knows how to take us out of dysfunction into function.
Amen.
Amen? Because if God was a dysfunctional God, there's not a real sense to really believe or ascribe to what he is. But then we understand Jesus, Son of God. All right, I can relate to a son. So that kind of makes sense. But the minute you say Holy Spirit, it either can create this real mysticism or it can be a real, yeah, Holy Spirit, glory, we're going to, and it can get real freaky. So it can go all kind of places. But I'm going to come more from the angle today of what I believe the gift of prophecy is in the church today. And I think it's going to inspire you. In fact, we're going to talk around, if you turn your Bibles over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, Josh, you can't leave yet, man. Well, you should have been ready. You should have had your Bible. You owe me 12. You know what this is today? This is Hillsong Bible College today. Are you okay with that?
Yes.
I teach in Hillsong College. We got a full-time college. And I'm just going to pretend you're students today. Is that all right?
Yes.
So if someone's late, they owe me push-ups. Josh, up here. I need 15 push-ups. Man push-ups, not woman push-ups. Man ones. You guys count. Go ahead. 15.
Yeah.
Pretty impressive. Pretty impressive, Josh. I'm impressed. I'm impressed. Now, don't ever be late to class again, all right? But let's look over at 1 Corinthians. I said 12, but I meant 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And I want to read from the first verses 1 through to verse 5. And you know, I really believe today in faith, because you know, when you do things in God, you got to do it in faith. I've never met any of you before, but I'm believing in faith today that God's going to speak words in people's lives. And it's not because I didn't say I'm going to. Basically, I try to be a nice person. Probably can be moody outside of the pulpit like you are. You don't get your lunch on time, you complain a bit. Or if you feel like mom's favoring you, one of the siblings, you get a bit edgy. Then she's got to come and pet you a little bit, encourage you a little bit, give you a cookie on the side, and everybody's happy again. But for the most part, as a minister of the gospel, I really want to help people and encourage people and speak things into people's lives. But I believe if we tap into the Holy Spirit side of God, God can bring direction into people's lives. God can transform people's lives. I know I spoke at church in outside of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, probably about a year ago. I was there. I'd never met most of the people there before. Had spoke to that church, but it was in a different venue. It had changed a lot. It had grown some. Anyway, the pastor told me this after the service. He said, you know, we had 8 or 9 families here today, but he said, you didn't know who they were because I never said nothing to you. But he said, you know, when you were ministering today, he said, you had 8 or 9 words. I don't remember if it was 8 or 9. He said, you had 8 words over 8 different families. They had never been to our church before. And he said, you know, all the ones that come up to get saved? He said, that was all those families. So see, God knows people's situation. I don't. But for the most part, if I can, I will try to help people and I will try to encourage people. But I want to show you something through God's word that I think will help you to put a bit of super in your natural life. How many feel like they say, man, my life sometimes gets a bit mundane? And man, if God would just put some supersize in it, how many's been to McDonald's before? And they want to supersize your meal? I used to think it was pretty cool, and I started looking down here and I thought, not so good. I'm trying to stay away from the supersize. But life is good to have supersize, isn't it? So let's talk about today the power of and, A-N-D. That's what we're going to title the message. So if you're taking notes, I want to encourage you to take notes. I see these are good students over here. They must be from America, because remember we're in Sydney now. These must be American students because they're very studious. I like how you take notes.
Thank you.
Josh, I don't know where your notebook is, but anyway, we'll just carry on. But the title of the message today is The Power of And. You might say, well, what do you mean by the power of and? Well, think about it. I actually looked up the word and in the dictionary to see what it said, but here's what it says. The word and actually means together with, as well as, and in addition to. And it also means also. So really what and does is you use it to connect words. So how cool would it be if we would say something, and then the power of and would add to it? What if God said, if you'll just step out in faith, and then I will do something? What if God inspired you or encouraged you or did something inside of you, says, why didn't you do something nice to so-and-so? And you're thinking, oh, that's just my head, or shut up, devil, don't try to get me to look stupid. But really, God was actually in it. But if you'll just step out and go over and say hi to this person, and suddenly I will begin to speak into the life. Well, that happened to, like I said, 8 or 9 families in this city, and their families were turned around. So the power of and we're going to see it happen today in Jesus' name. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And in verse 1, it says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. What a powerful thing. We know how important love is because the Bible tells us that we're supposed to love everyone. Is that true? Whether you're a Christian or not, maybe this is your first time in church, or you've been coming to church a lot. I think somewhere over the course of our journey, we've all learned or heard that we're supposed to love people. Supposed to love humanity, supposed to honor your neighbors, you're supposed to do good things. Isn't that true? So the Bible instructs us that we're supposed to love. But you know, I got thinking about that once. You know, as a Christian, because I am a professing Christian, but as a Christian, I know I'm supposed to love people, but there's some people I don't like. You know, I took it a step further. My wife and I were talking one day, and we say, you know what? We do love each other as Christians, but some relationships, people don't like each other. But you know what? Liking someone is a choice. Loving someone is a command. And you know, and I know in my marriage, I thought I was perfect, but I didn't realize, see, that God uses the Holy Spirit and your wife to correct you. I don't know why it is my wife seems so much like the Holy Spirit. She's always correcting me and telling me what I'm doing wrong, but unfortunately, she's right most of the time. But you know what? My wife shared with me, she goes, you know, back some years ago, and she began to share incidences where maybe we didn't, she would do things, but she said, I'll just take the kids. You can just stay home. She goes, you know why I did that? Because she said, I had a hard time being around you. You're too aggressive. I didn't like being around you. I loved you. I'm committed to you. Till death will we part. But you know, in life, the reality is, you can choose to be a likable person. But now listen, with that thought, come back to what we just read. Pursue love. Desire spiritual gifts. But especially that you may prophesy. Now he's talking to the church. But you see, if you're pursuing love, you say, well, what is love? Well, if you just look back a little ways in 1 Corinthians 13, it tells us what love is. Because if you look at verse 4, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 4, look what it says. It's telling us right here, love suffers long, is kind. Love doesn't envy, does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. It does not behave rudely. It does not seek its own. It's not provoked. It doesn't think evil. Love doesn't think evil about people. Yeah, but what if someone's did me wrong? Just choose to be ignorant and believe the best. Yeah, but they did me wrong. I know, and you can justify it. And you can have your rights, and you can have your privileges. You can even take them to court, and you can prove them wrong. But the Bible says, just don't do it. Take the higher road. It does not rejoice in inequity. Doesn't rejoice, it rejoices in truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things. So that's what love does. Love is patient, kind, long-suffering, right? The Bible says, pursue love, desire spiritual gifts. We're not going to take time to teach on that today, but it tells us to desire spiritual gifts, that we should anticipate, go for, desire spiritual gifts. But then it comes, this is the part I like, and this is the, I believe it's just so practical, it's so easy, it's so real that we all can do it. It says, but especially that you may prophesy. So the Bible's telling us to prophesy. It must be a good thing. But you see, I think we need to know what prophecy is. I think a lot of times in church people try to prophesy over people, but it's normally, or not normally, but sometimes it's doom and gloom. Sometimes it brings confusion to people. I've always said if anybody has a word over you, if it doesn't confirm something you already know, just put it on the shelf. Don't let it change your life. I've heard people say, someone had a word that I'm supposed to do such and such, so I did it, and they said it, and everything flopped. Well, I said, was it something that bear witness inside of you? Well, I said, that's not how God works. He leads you by His Spirit because He lives inside of you. The Bible says as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. And you know, the Holy Spirit has been leading you. The Holy Spirit has been speaking things inside of your heart. There's been a stirring inside your heart, and you start thinking about things and thinking about future and just planning things out. But you know what the Lord's saying? Be still and know that I am God. The peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Does that make any sense? Are you sure, or are you just trying to get me off the hook because I'm a guest speaker? Yeah, because I believe the Lord gave me that word today. The peace of God. Let's pray for her. Everybody reach your hand this way. What's your name?
Crystal.
Father, I lay hands on Crystal. And we as a church believe that your peace will guide her. That just an assurance, a knowing, a resting, and a confidence in Crystal's life. In fact, seems a bit silly, but you'll just make it crystal clear to her. There's just that knowing. So, Father, I thank you right now. We stand with, and I believe there's such clarity right now just to rest in that. That knowing. Man, it just comes, doesn't it? Well, see, that's the Lord speaking to you. You say, well, what exactly just happened? I'll show you what happened. I just stepped in faith, trusting God. But look what it says in verse 2. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God. For no one understands him. However, by the Spirit he speaks mysteries. Now watch, because I don't want to get into the mystery side. I want to get into the side today that's going to help us. We don't need to know mystery. We need to know God and direction and counsel. Now watch, look at verse 3. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. Now, Crystal, can I just for a moment use you as an example, not to embarrass you, not going to have you stand up, not going to have you prophesy, not going to have you anything. But did what just happened to you, did it edify, exhort, or comfort you? So she says yes. Okay, well, that's what prophecy is. It's not too difficult, is it? Edifies, exhorts, or comforts people. How many here to say, I want to be edified. I want to be comforted. I want to be exhorted. How many? Yeah, we all do. But you see, that's the power of the gift of prophecy. And because it's a gift, it's not yours, it's God. But see, God does it through people. How cool is that? What a neat thing that God does that. How does he do it? Oh, I don't know. He's God. I'm not. Now look what it says. Read on in verse 4. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. And so you got to be careful in life because sometimes Christianity is all for yourself. And I think what I've learned in my journey, now I got saved in November of 1982. So when I gave my life to the Lord, on that day, I learned about the promises of God that were for me. They're yes and amen. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. He delights in his ways. Yes, I'm looking for that. The Bible talks about the promises that are given to me. God talks about favor that's over my. God talks about grace. And that's all wonderful and that's all good. But see, what we got to be careful as Christians, when everything becomes too center-focused, too much about me, then our whole Christianity is about us. But when I read the scripture through the eyes of maturing, I see how much it's for others. People say, well, can you explain that in a different way? Yeah, let's talk about understanding. I was just in St. Louis a few days ago, and there was a pastor and a friend that had recently recommitted his life to the Lord, and he was a businessman, and they asked if they could take me out for coffee after the service, just have a chat. So I said, well, I've already eaten. I don't drink coffee after a dinner, and so I don't, you know, coffee keeps me awake. I don't know what it does for you. Of course, Josh, he don't go to bed till late anyway, so it's fine by him. Early is from the devil, late is from God. Isn't that right, Josh? Yeah. But I'm just the opposite. I like going to bed early. And so I said, but come by the hotel. We'll just hang out in the lobby. Had a nice TV and sofas and everything. So we just went and sat in there. They brought some dine-in meal, and we sat down and had a chat. I forgot what I was going to say. What did I just say before that? That's it. She's a good student right there. She is a good student. She's one of the best. And so I started talking to him. You know, I said the problem was so often in life, through conversation, through relationship, is people, you know, they say stuff like, I wish you'd just understand what I'm trying to say. Well, that's not even a biblical principle. Have you ever thought about flipping around the other way and say, you know what, Lord? I need to learn to sow understanding in the people I communicate with. So if you're going to sow understanding, you don't really have a message or a say at the moment. Because what you're doing is you're going to invest in that person and say, you know what? You don't tell them that. You say it privately. You say, you know what? I'm going to purpose in my heart today to understand what she's saying when she speaks to me. I'm not going to have a voice. I'm not going to have an opinion. I'm not going to say, yeah, but. I'm just going to hear and understand. So at the end of the conversation, I'm going to say, you know what? I understand exactly what you're saying. So what happened to her? She feels validated. She feels heard from. She feels like there's value in what she said. She feels like there's purpose. She just, everything you could imagine, exhortation, comfort, encouragement came out of that, didn't it? But now see, because you have sown understanding, what are you reaping back? You reap understanding because whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. So I thought, wow, this is pretty cool. So I just one day decided, you know what? A lot of times when I first got married, Some young man told me, now listen, I'll help you in your marriage. There's three golden words that you need to learn, and marriage will be a lot easier for you. Learn the words he said two words, I understand. Because sometimes your wife's going to be talking to you. You know, opposites attract. You got an emotional wife and a logical man. God says, be joined as one. And then he has the sense of humor to say, get along. So this guy said to me, here's some good counsel. Learn how to say, I understand. Well, see, the problem with that was I just said it to save peace, but I really didn't sow it. I didn't understand. And I purposed to my wife. I said, you know what? This is a few years back. I said, you know what, honey? I'm going to purpose when we communicate to sow understanding into our relationship time. And I explained to her what I felt like the Lord had did in my life. And you know what? My focus was no longer me getting my opinion across. Being understood. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? It become, I'm going to engage with her. I'm going to listen to her. And I'm going to purpose to sow understanding into what she's trying to say. And as a result of it, I begin to appreciate her, value her more, understand her. And the communication level went to a new level. But then when I talked, she wasn't trying to butt it and say, yeah, but do you understand such and such? And then as a result of all that, we learned the power of and. So if she shared something that I didn't necessarily agree on, I didn't say, yeah, I hear what you're saying, but this is what I believe. I said, when she shared what she believed, I said, yeah, I like that. And here's another thought. Yeah, I understand. And what do you think about this? Because, see, thinkers think things. Or some, yeah, I understand. And how do you feel about that? Because you got feelers, thinkers, sayers. So you're talking to someone else and you know some people, the reason you don't get along with them, they got to be able to communicate so they can think properly. You ever talk to someone, you ask them something, and they got to talk out loud? Because they're talkers. So what do you do with someone like that? I say, speak to me about what you're thinking. And what do? They begin to speak it out. And in the midst of them speaking, the word of the Lord can come to you. See, the gift of prophecy is exhortation, encouragement, and comfort. And God can just all of a sudden give you a word for something, someone, and begin to speak a word in season for them. And sir, I believe, I could be wrong, I believe you're in a bit of a seasonal change. I believe there's something that God is doing. You guys are a married couple. I believe God's doing something in you. It's not something new that neither one of you know. But I believe there's a seasonal change. See, we have a life of seasons. Is that right? Am I speaking right? And I believe there's a season in your life. There's something. There's a transition coming. And you know what? I'm here to tell you, by the word of the Lord, that you will know, that you will be on time, that as you rest in Him, He will open divine doors. His favor is upon you. He will put people in your path to bring confirmation and knowing and assurance. But the future is bright. There is more. And He's divinely opening doors for you. Does that make any sense?
I'll mull on it.
You'll mull on it.
Yeah.
So that just means you're trying to help me out. But that's okay. I'm a human. I can miss it. But his wife is shaking her head like this. But that's okay. Yeah, but that's why it's going to. It's an encouragement to you. So let's carry on. The power of and. And. So you see again, the word says, verse 3, but he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets that the church may receive edification. So you know what? When we as a church begin to prophesy or open ourselves and avail ourselves to speak life into people, it edifies the church. What a powerful thing. I know back in college, I teach in a college, we've got 65 nations represented. Well, 66, sorry. Texas is there too. I mean, Texas is its own country. We know that. If you don't believe me, just ask them. But, and we get people from the Anglican Church, Protestant Church, even, we're a full gospel, charismatic, word of faith type of Bible college. That's what Hillsong is, like what is here. I mean, your pastor and I are pretty much on the same, cut our teeth in the same way when it comes to biblical principles, doctrine and everything. But in our church, because of our music, it draws people from all over the world. So you get all different denominations and persuasions. And man, in some of my classes, I'll teach on prophecy, the biblical principles of prophecy and what it's for. And I just randomly grab someone. They're from some denominational church. And I say, you know what? I just want you to, in faith right now, come up. And I want you to give a word to this person. And people are thinking, well, you can't do it in the natural. That's exactly right. But God needs to work with something. And I've seen time and time again, someone will step. We're not going to do it today, by the way, so you can relax, all right? But I've just seen people come up and say, I'll give a word. And I mean, all of a sudden, the power of God hits these people. They begin to prophesy over their life, and all heaven opens up to them. Why? Because God wants to edify, He wants to build up, and He wants to encourage the church. That's not too difficult, is it? It's a powerful thing. Building up the church. All right, let's take a sidetrack just for a moment. Turn your Bibles with me, if you will, over to Acts chapter 21. Is everybody doing good so far? Yeah. Acts chapter 21, just a few more minutes. Is this helping you? Yes. Is it stirring you in your heart? Yes. Good. Don't you love the Lord? Yes. Don't you want to grow in the things of God? Don't you know God's not spooky and crazy? He's an all-consuming God. He's a loving God. He's got favor, blessing, provision for you. So you can help others. Amen? Oh, thank you, Jesus. So look at verse 8, Acts chapter 21. On the next day, we who were Paul's companions departed and came to Caesarea and entered the house of Philip the evangelist, who was one of the seven, and stayed with him. Now you remember back in Acts chapter 6, Philip was brought into the ministry. Six people were asked to bring in. Philip was one of them. We're not going to talk about that today. But now look over here. Verse 9. Now this man had four virgin daughters who prophesied. And as we stayed many days, a certain prophet named Agabus came down to Judea. Now you got to realize these guys were probably having a service. They'd come together, their fellowship. Now his daughters were known as women that prophesied. They didn't see their prophets. They didn't have a word from heaven to bring direction to Paul's life, but they prophesied. So evidently the church, it wasn't uncommon for people to speak words of edification into people's lives. I know for myself personally, I've seen countless times just walking through my day, meeting people, not in church, just in day-to-day living. You meet someone, you get their name, and God actually gives you, impresses something on your heart for someone. Now, you don't come out and say, "Thus saith the Lord." But, you know, you start talking to these people, and you start encouraging them, and you start speaking over their life, and all of a sudden you see tears coming down their eyes. And you say, "Well, what's going on?" Well, you're speaking about, I know you didn't know this, but such and such, such and such. And then it leads the door to say, well, you know what? God loves you. God does have a plan for your life. Do you know Him as your Lord and Savior? And you just see God do incredible things. You see, when the church gets back to the place that we realize we serve a supernatural, not a spooky, not a weird God. You know, we got to know how to package things right. And if you got everything looks dysfunctional and out of place, and you're trying to come up and say, "Thus saith," that's why John the Baptist had such a tough time. He was squirrely looking, man. He had funky hair. He had locusts and honey coming off his beard. He probably didn't wear deodorant. Probably had major BO. He was a pretty dysfunctional looking dude. But you know, God used him to blaze the trail. But you and I don't have to do that from day to day. We can be normal. We can be transparent. We can be relevant, we can be real, but you know, just one word from God can totally turn a situation around. I know for my life, God has been able to speak into my life at different times and totally bring direction to my life. Totally transform someone's course in which they're going on. And so we see here four young ladies weren't necessarily prophets, but the Bible said they prophesied. And I believe that God's going to begin to open doors in this community, not to go in and say, thus saith the Lord, but it's a witnessing tool. I remember I shared with my mom a few years ago, whenever I'm in the States, a lot of times I'm based out of flying to Minneapolis and based out of here, but I walked in, how many's been to the Mall of America? Yeah, well, if you come in the west entrance, just north of that is Nordstrom's, and just south of that is Macy's. Well, that's the west entrance. And as you come in, you've got the Holiday, you know, it's normally a Holiday petrol station, but it's a Holiday kiosk or whatever you call a general store. Is that what you call it? I forget because I've lived in Australia for 13 years. But there's the Holiday, you get your packet of chips or you get a candy bar or whatever, you know what I'm saying? Or some of you like that Starbucks cold drink, the Frappuccino, whatever. It's just like you buy stuff like that. Well, there was a lady in there, and we'll just call her name Linda. And so I went in there to get something, and the Lord actually gave me a word for prophecy. And so I came up to pay for my goods, and I looked at her and I said, hello, Linda, how you doing today? Well, the thing is, she didn't have a name badge on. So she goes, who told you my name? Did one of my staff? And she looks around, and there's no staff there. I said, no, nobody told me your name. You just look like a Linda. And all of a sudden, she's just kind of hanging. She's like, who is this guy? I say, no, just please don't. I'm not a stalker or anything. I said, you know what? I love the Lord. I'm actually a Christian. And you know what? God knows your name. And he just wanted me to tell you today that he loves you, he values you, and he's got a plan for your life. And I said, have a great day. See you later. That was it, because that's all the Lord told me to say. It's the problem sometimes when God uses us, we think we got to feed him the book of Genesis all the way to Revelation, and then back again, and answer questions they never asked. But I've learned less is best. I don't want to be known as the blabbit preacher. In fact, Josh, we're just about out of time, mate. We're getting there. Just stay with me, all right? What time do we normally close, so I know?
About 20 more minutes.
Oh, well, I'll be good on that. So, but anyway, so I leave. That's all I knew in my heart to do. So I said, well, why didn't you pray with it? Because that wasn't what I was supposed to do. The Bible says, with some you water, some you plant, God gives the increase. So anyway, I told my mom. You remember that, Mom? I told her about what happened, da-di-da-di-da. Well, when I left, I said, Father, I thank you. Her days are numbered. I thank you she's saved. I thank you she's coming into a revelation of who you are. Well, I come back 2 months later. I told Mom, remember that story I told you about? We're coming through the same west entrance there. I said, there's Linda. She's here again. Well, see, this time when we came in to say hi, I says, hey, Linda, remember? She goes, yeah, I remember you. You're the one that had a word over me. I'm a Christian now. You see, God wants to reach people. No, I didn't set up a tape booth there now and receive an offering and say I'm a great prophet. No, it's God's business. It wasn't about me. It was about being a bridge into someone's world. You see, what I try to do is I try to use the power of and, so I can build a bridge into people's world. I'm not trying to defend Christ. He doesn't need my defense. I'm not trying to sell him at half price. He's not on sale. I'm not trying to convince people. I'm not trying to auctioneer Jesus off. I'm just supposed to go proclaim who he is. He loves you. Has a plan for you. He has purpose for you. Your best is still to come. And tell people about the goodness of God. And then I don't try to get them the sign on the dotted line. I just present them who he is. And when people taste and see that he is good, they can't get away from his goodness. Doesn't the Bible say it's the goodness of God that leads a man to repentance? Now, Terry, I only know your name because they announced you as Terry. But I will say this. I believe the Lord is going to do some things in your life and reveal some things to you that will transform your life. And you know what? People have said stuff, and it's a big, fat lie from the pit of hell. You are a precious child of God. God's hand is on your life. You can come to Him. You don't have to fear Him. Fear in a reverential way, but not fear as if you're afraid of a wild dog. So we can fear God. But you know what? It's the fear of God that will actually encapsulate your life, shape your life, transform your life, because your best deal is in front of you. And the brokenness, the hurts, the setbacks, they can change like that. Does that make any sense to you? Let's put our hand on Terry. Can you reach your hand towards Terry? Father, Terry came here today not looking for anything, but she did come. But you know what? She's going to go receiving something. And God, I thank You that Your hand is on her life. I thank You, Father, that You will heal broken hearts. God, I thank You that You can supernaturally cause a miracle to take place in this life today so that she'll never be the same again. This will be a marked day. The 10th day. Is it the 10th or the 9th today?
The 9th.
I fly out on the 10th. But on the 9th of October 2011, heaven visited her house and brought turnaround. We declare it in Jesus' name. We break every power. We break every lie. We break every word that's been spoken over her in the name of the Lord Jesus. Do you have anything you want to pray over, Tammy? You want to pray for? You can if you want. You don't want, you don't have to. That's fine. That's cool. No problem. How good is that? Just liberty. Freedom. The weight's being cut away. The Bible says, cast your care upon Me because I care for you. Jesus said, My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Amen? Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank You, Father. Such a sweet anointing, isn't it? Josh, what do you want from God? Yeah, what do you want from God?
I want to be able to start a dance ministry.
Want to be able to start a dance ministry. You coming to Hillsong College? Because we got a dance stream over there.
Do you really?
We do. I'm here to recruit you, mate. I'm not. Not really. Ma and Pa, Langworthy, I'm not here to recruit him. Just kidding. But you know, the presence of the Lord is here. How many have come in here, if we could be true and be honest? We've come in here today. Won't we just, everyone, just bow our heads, close our eyes? We've come in here today and said, you know what? I do need some direction. It's not that you're not in a good church. It's not that you're not a good person. It's none of that, really. But just in your heart, you just say, man, I do need some direction. I'm just struggling. I'm not going to call people forward anyway. I'm just going to pray for you right where you're at. Because I really believe that sometimes people lose purpose and direction in life, and then you don't realize how much God is divinely working and how much more God is going to do when we learn to trust Him and step out in faith. But how many this morning would say, yeah, that's me. I just feel like I need some direction, some purpose in life, and I just feel like it's not there right now. Just slip your hand up. Just slip it up in Jesus' name. Yeah, there's several of you. Come on, just slip it up so I can see you. I'm not going to call you forward. We're going to pray for you right where you're at. But there's several of you. Several of you. Well, firstly, I can say this. Thank God you're in a great church that preaches the Word. But you know what? I'm going to pray for you all right now. Why don't you just, all of you, just stand up right now. Everybody, the whole congregation, everybody stand up. And let me pray. We're not concluded. We're just going to be a few minutes long. I'm going to pray for you. Then I'm going to ask you to sit down again. We're going to be showing you a three-minute DVD. The pastor's going to come up and close the service. But especially you that raised your hand today, I'm going to pray for you. But I want to pray for everybody. But sometimes it's just good to stand up, change your position so you can focus and lock in. But let's all of us, as a church, let's just reach our hands up to heaven right now. Just, that's basically what you're doing, is you're just surrendering to God. Let me pray this prayer. Father, You know the people that rose their hand today. Just needing purpose, needing direction. But God, I'm so thankful that in your word it says, and this is what I pray over their life today, the steps of a good person are ordered of the Lord, and they do delight in the way. And so, Father, I thank you today that they will be in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing with the right people and the resources to bring it to pass. So we thank you, Father, that you bless them spiritually, physically, emotionally, socially, mentally, and financially. And God, we rejoice for what you're doing in and through their lives. In Jesus' name. And everyone said...